Okay, how long do we have? An hour or two? That's fine. No one works in London, right? So the title of the talk was Counting on You. We'll talk about Sphira. I'm going to ask a couple of questions that require us to look at the Gemara a little bit. Some very important questions, actually. Questions that normally we don't think about, but all of a sudden when we do, they become very difficult to answer. And then we'll try and use, interestingly, this might be a little different, we'll try and use an idea in Machshava to answer a Lomdisha question. Try and understand something about the Sephira, or help us understand something about the mitzvah of Sphira in itself. Let's start like this. A good place to start is the Minchas Chinuch, trying to understand what is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. The pasuk says, "Sfartim lachem demachrat haShabbos," which means that for 49 days, 7 weeks, one must count each day singly, individually, between the second day of Pesach and Shavuot. Basically, 49 days, making 50 days in total. Seven complete weeks. What's Peshat in the mitzvah? What's one of the tainim of the mitzvah? What's behind the mitzvah? So the Minchas Chinuch in his classic, the Chinuch, before we get to the Minchas Chinuch, the Chinuch himself says like this. Mishroshi ha-mitzvah, from the source of the mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah is like this. Kol ikron shel Yisrael enoy ala Torah, the mainstay of the Jewish people is the Torah, like it says in Loi Brisiyum V'Laylo, he needs even Pesukim, like it says that the whole reason we left Mitzrayim in the first place was in order that we would receive the Torah in Har Sinai, like it says Tav din Asar Elohim al Ahor Hazeh, that the reason we left Mitzrayim was in order to receive the Torah which we would observe. Or Mitzrayim came, and therefore he says, seeing as the whole Geula was anyway for the Eden to receive the Torah, then it makes sense that we have a tremendous craving and a tremendous desire and a yearning to get towards Har Sinai already. And like anybody who plans a holiday, in whether it's in 49 days or 49 weeks or 49 years, so you circle the calendar and you start counting the days with tremendous anticipation and excitement. And that's what the counting is. He says, we have such a shtoikikus, laharis ben avshenu, he says, to show in our own nefesh, achepet ha-godol al-ayom ha-nichbot, our deep desire for the great day, and each day we're going to count and count. He even asks the classic question, if it's true that we're counting in anticipation of something, it would make a lot more sense to count the days down. 49 days to go, 39 days to go, 29 days to go. So he says, not really. He says, because we're going to lose hope. He says, we're so excited for the final day that if we start counting one day down, 2 days down, we go, oh, I can't wait. So therefore, that's the way to count. He actually says that. He says, "Va'al yikshe alecha." I think I said it slightly incorrectly. I'll repeat that. He says, "Va'al yikshe alecha leima." Don't say, if that's true, then why don't we count downwards? Why don't we count 49 days gone, 48 days gone? Because if I say 49 days gone, 48, then I'll lose hope. It's better to say 1 day down, 2 days down. That's the way the Minchas Chinuch understands the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. This is the big question, however. This is the big question. If that's true, why is the mitzvah called Sefira To'ena? What's To'ena have to do with anything? What's To'ena have to do with anything? It should be called Sefira Ta'Torah, Sefira Ta'yomim, the counting of the days, Sefira Ta'Shavuos, the counting of the weeks. Something Sefira Ta'Shnoikikus, the counting of excitement and anticipation. What does the word Sefira To'ena mean? And doesn't the Torah say that it's tied with the Torah? On the contrary, this Vilma Chalukis is showing where the Sefirah Ta'omim is derived, for example, whether it's Minatorim or Derabonim. Most of the Rishonim learn that the mitzvah is Derabonim because we don't have the Omer today. So you see that the Sefirah Ta'omim is directly linked with the Omer itself, and yet from the Minchas Chinuch he doesn't mention anything about the Omer. The mitzvah is about the counting all towards the Torah, forget the Omer. On the contrary, the Minchas Chinuch asks, why don't we count from the first day of Pesach? We left Mitzrayim on the first day of Pesach. Why do we wait till the second day to start counting? Good question. But I don't answer the question because the Omer was born on the second day of Pesach. I didn't say that. Tremendous. This is a very difficult question. Very difficult. Good question? Now let's take a look at the Gemara very briefly in Gemara Menachot. A short price then, it's very important. The price says, Usifartim Lachem, which means that you should count for you. So the Gemara immediately has a question. What do you mean you should count for you? Whenever it says Lachem, it's sending you a message. Even Lachem means a message. When it says by Avraham, Lech Lecha, immediately all the Mepharshim should jump up and down and say, what's Lecha? Just say Lech, go. So, like it says, Lekachtem Lachem by Lulav. Lekachtem Lachem, we learn all kinds of drashas from the Lachem. What's the Sefartim Lachem? You should count for you. What's the Lachem? You should just say, Sefartim, Miyon Aviyach, and the you should start counting. What's the Lachem? Says the Gemara, Shetehei Sefira L'chol Echad Ve'echad. Shetehei Sefira L'chol Echad Ve'echad. What does Rashi say? What does it mean? Shekol Echad Chayev Lispor. That every single person, Kol Echad Ve'echad, is chayev to count the Sefira. Didn't the Gemara just say that? Gemara says, Shetehei Sefira L'chol Echad Ve'echad. So Rashi, everyone needs to count. Okay, I understand. So who asks that question on Rashi? The Rajbo. The Rajbo wants to know, what's Rashi saying? Rajbo says like this. You shouldn't think that the mitzvah of Sefira Ta'ime is a mitzvah on the Bezdin, for example, or is a mitzvah on the Tzibor, like Kriyas HaTorah maybe. You should know, as Rashi is saying, and the Rashi was backing him up, that the mitzvah of Sefira is an individualized mitzvah. Every single individual in Klal Yisrael is mandated by the Torah to count each day between Pesach and Shavuot. That's what the mitzvah means. So there's a machlokes achronim now in the area of Shemea Ko'ina, which means Shmei Ko'ina, for those who are not familiar, is the concept that I can do a mitzvah, a verbal mitzvah, let's say, for example, Kiddush, and you can fulfill your obligation with my Kiddush just by listening to my Kiddush. Shmei, a listener, Ko'ina is like someone who answers. By you listening, it's as if you're told certain mitzvahs can be done. So the Achronim want to know, if I count Sefira Ko'ina, and you're listening, can you fulfill your obligation with my Sefira? That's a big question. Big machlokes achronim. The Chinuch brings it down. The Bia Halacha brings it down. Who are some of the big players? The Levush, the Pri Chodosh, Pri Megodim gets involved. This is a big. And if you look there in Tov Teiches, in the Bia Halacha, he speaks it out in detail. You hear the question? Can I count Sefira? And you fulfill your obligation just by listening. I say, Hayoim Yoim, whatever it is. Right, let's say it's the second day of the Sefira. Hayoim Yom Shein Yeloim. And you listen. Have you fulfilled your mitzvah? Or do you need to count your own mitzvah? And then there's a separate question. What about the bracha? Can I make the bracha? And you fulfill your mitzvah with the bracha? Or do you need to make a bracha? Listen to me. So you think, why not? Why not? There are many mitzvahs that I do that I can fulfill you. You can fulfill your obligation by listening to my mitzvah. The Bia Halacha ends by saying, that lechatchila certainly not. Lechatchila you can certainly not rely on somebody else's sefira in order to fulfill your own sefira. You have to do it. That's what the Bia Halacha says. And he also says that even the Di'evit, you should count again just without making a bracha. The question is, why? 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 So the Bia Halacha said why. I'll tell you why. Because of the Rajba that we just learned. The Rajba just said in the Gemara, each person needs to make a Sefira. So you can't make a Sefira for me, because the Gemara says you have to make the Sefira. So all Achronim say, what are you talking about? All Rashi says, like the Rajba explains it to me, all the Rashi is saying is that it's not a mitzvah on the Bezdin, and it's not a mitzvah on the Tzibur, it's a mitzvah, it's an individualized mitzvah. That doesn't mean Shmei Achronim doesn't work. I'll give you an example. Kiddush. Is Kiddush a mitzvah on the Bezdin to sanctify the day of Shabbos? No. Every single person has their own chiyuv to make Kiddush, correct? But you can fulfill your mitzvah with my Kiddush. So why shouldn't it work with Sefira Ta'ima? It's a good question. That's the real question I'm going to try and answer. Try and understand the Minchat Chinuch. The Chinuch. Well, I keep saying Minchat Chinuch. Because Minchat Chinuch brings this machlokes also. Try and understand the Chinuch and try and answer. This is a very tough question. So we have two questions. The mitzvah, the bracha. It's called Sefira Ta'omer, the counting of the Omer. No one here has ever counted the Omer. Never even seen an Omer. What's an Omer? It's a measure. What is that? Sefira Ta'efa. But it's Sefira Ta'omer. Every day made the bracha, you see the chassidim. The flying, with the sparks are going. You say, I'll Sefira Ta'omer. And this doesn't make any sense. Grammatically, it doesn't make any sense. Sefira Ta'omer. Especially the way the Chinuch explains that the whole mitzvah is an anticipation of the Har Sinai. Sefira Har Sinai. And secondly, why did the Achronim say the Shemei HaKo'en is an extra problem? Some Achronim say it's okay, but why is there an extra problem of Shemei HaKo'en by the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer just because it says in Sfirat HaLachem Shetei Sfirat HaLachem Ve'echa? Okay, the Gemara will now. So very briefly, let's try and get through this. I'll share with you a very interesting idea regarding Sfira that wouldn't be your normal way of trying to answer questions on the Chinuch and on the Gemara. This is what it says. It says like this. It says that every god, every exile, whether it's klolis, in other words it's communal, or whether it's prophets, whether it's individual, your own godless, every person goes through their own moments of exile in life. Every godless is specifically designed for the exilee, so to speak, the person who's entering godless. It's not just in random that Hashem takes people and thrusts them into a challenge that they can't deal with. The Gemara says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bov b'etruni v'riyoto." Hashem doesn't like to trick his people. He likes to give them an opportunity to succeed. It's not like our teachers in school that try and catch it down. Right? They want you to succeed. Right? We learn in Machshava that even the Yetzer Hara wants you to succeed. No, you disagree? And I'm the teacher, so. Even the Yetzer Hara, it says, the Yetzer Hara really wants you to beat him. It's like your trainer in the fitness club. When he raises the bar, adds the weight. Right? It's not because he wants you to drop it. It's because he wants you to succeed. So Hashem is the greatest fitness of the Ruchni Sikha, spiritual trainer of the world. So when he appoints the Yetzer Hara to present an extra challenge, it's not for it to beat us, we have to beat it. And the Rav Esther speaks out in great detail that when the Yetzer Hara loses, it means that we lost. When we fail in the challenge, the Yetzer Hara is not happy. I'll give you an example, a brief example as a side here. For example, this is a tremendous insight about Yaakov and Esau. It says Yaakov and Esau, well, Yaakov was fighting with the Malach of Esau all night long. Now think about this for a moment. They get to the end of the night, and the Malach says to Esau, "Sorry, I have to go. Please let me go. Ki ola hashocha." Now, the Malachim sing Shira. Most of the Malachim only sing Shira once in a lifetime. They're created from the beginning of time, and they get one opportunity to sing Shira, and singing Shira, that's when they go out with a puff. They're gone. It's all over. It's all over. To punk tonight, this crazy angel decides to start fighting with Yaakov Avinu. Punk tonight, when in the morning he's got an opportunity. That's the kind of thing I do. I go to bed 3 in the morning when I have an opportunity, when I have an appointment to speak in the morning. Well, what's he thinking? What's the Malach thinking? He could have taken the last night, the second part. He says, "I'm sorry, Yaakov, I have to go now." It's a good question. The answer is that a Malach sings Shira when he's fulfilled his tachlis in life. When he's fulfilled his duty in life, so that's when the Malach gets to sing Shira. He fought with Yaakov all night long. And he kept raising the bar higher and higher and higher. And Yaakov would not succumb to the Malach. When at the end of the night he saw that he had lost, he says, "I've won! Now I'm going to go sing Shira." So when Hashem threw the Yidden into Mitzrayim, it wasn't just an arbitrary galus. It was designed specifically to challenge them exactly at their weakest point, because you're only as strong as your weakest link. What was the Yidden's link? They were the grandchildren of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the man of Emunah, the man who destroyed Terach's idols and ran around the world proclaiming the name of God, telling the world that this is what the life is all about. Bira Delekes, like I mentioned last night. So Mitzrayim was the very antithesis to this. Mitzrayim was a place of the ultimate kafira, ultimate heresy, ultimate denial of God. They lived in denial. That's what it says. There was a tremendous clue. If you take a look at this, for example, there's a tremendous idea like this. It says that it doesn't rain in Mitzrayim very much. And therefore, where were the people drawing their sustenance from? They drew it from denial. They drew it from denial. The news. Yeah, I know you're all thinking the pun here. They're in denial. I've got that. So they look there. So what's Mishal? It doesn't rain in Mitzrayim. The idea is that they were looking down into the river, as opposed to looking upwards to heaven to receive the sustenance of Geshem. Where do we see this idea? We see this idea with Adam Arishon. It says like this with Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon, it says, see, we have the idea that when Adam Arishon was born, created, we have the idea that he stepped out into the world and it was paradise. All these trees, and little white doves fluttering about, and butterflies, and a bubbling brook in the corner, and delicious. No. If you look in the Torah, it doesn't say that. The Torah says he stepped out, there was nothing. It's a barren land. There was nothing. Nothing was growing at all. Why not? So the Torah says it hasn't started rain. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not created rain yet. Or the rain had not fallen yet. Why not? So the pasuk finishes, Va'odam ayin la b'disa adoma. The Rashi explains that this means that Adam was not there yet. In other words, when creation was brought into being, Adam was the last in the line, and he wasn't there yet. The Rashi explains it's because Adam wasn't there yet. In other words, because Adam Harishon was not around to daven for rain, then what's the point in the rain? In other words, like this, we have a concept of tefillah that's slightly misguided. We think I need something, therefore I pray for it. I need something, therefore I pray for it. That's not the correct hashkafa. The correct hashkafa is I need to daven to Hashem. I need to daven, therefore I have needs in life. Whether it's health needs, or parnasa needs, or children needs, or shidduch needs, or friendship needs, whatever it is. It's not that I have needs and therefore I need to daven. I have a need to daven, therefore I have physical needs in life. So what's the point of rain? I want to daven for it. In other words, you see that the concept that rain represents our communication with Hashem. When you look upwards, when you look upwards, that creates a communication between yourself and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then later the rain comes. The rain is merely there as a vehicle to get to the end, and the end, the goal, is the relationship with Hashem. So in Mitzrayim, the fact that they were nizon from the Nile was not just another aspect, it was everything. That's why Paroi said, Li yo'oli v'ani asisit. The river is mine, because Paro is the biggest heretic who ever lived. Chazal said there was no bigger kofa ever than Paro himself. He was completely destroyed in terms of he couldn't, even if he wanted to, come to accept Hashem. Tosefta speaks about this in great detail. That's how destroyed the Timtum of Paro was. It was so intense that he couldn't accept it. So they looked downwards. In fact, it actually says that Paro, if you look in the pasuk over there, Paro actually says in another place, Li Oiri Bani Asisini, which means that the river is mine and I have made myself. The first case of biblical cloning. Mm-hmm. You find in the Torah, it says, I made myself. That's the way he thought of himself. It says, for example, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go and find Paro, go speak to him in the morning or find him by the river. What's he doing by the river? He's using the bathroom. He's relieving himself. Why would Paro relieve himself only the first thing in the morning? Because gods don't relieve themselves. So when no one was looking, he would quickly sneak out once a day to relieve himself in the morning. I would say to me, wait a second, who are you trying to fool? Okay. But that was Paro. So conceited in his own kefir, that's who Paro was. It says, for example, that the Yidin of Mitzrayim sunk to Mentes Shari Tumah, which means the 49th level of Tumah. What Tumah are we talking about? Tumah Slay, Tumah Gomata, what is this? What kind of Tumah? What kind of Tumah is this? What Tumah? What tumma? What's the tumma? So the tumma is this idea of kafira. They say the word tumma, the root of the word tumma is tesmem, which is the root of the word tomun, which means hidden, block, or timtum, which means block. That's what tumma means. Tumma is the lack of clarity. That's exactly what tumma is. Tumma is when the arteries, the avenues leading between us and God are blocked and clogged. That's called tumma. And tahara is the opposite. Tahara is the same root as the word soihar. Tess and Tzadi are interchangeable, Gemara says. Like it says, clarity, the clear window, shakuf, it's transparent, you can see through, and tumma means it's blurred, it's blocked, you can't see. So each level of tumma that we think through, our communication and our connection to Hashem is blocked just one extra level. So if there were mem teshai or tumma, there was almost nothing left. The 50th level, there's no way out of. Paro was at the 50th level, therefore he couldn't come out of it. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says like this: against each level of tumma, there's something called a shara of bina, a gate of understanding. Because understanding is clarity, that's what bina is. So keneged each one of the 49 levels of tumma, there are 49 levels of tara. But how many levels of tara are there? There are really 50. So there are 50 levels of bina because there are 50 levels of tumma. But the 50th level of tumma you can't get to. Once you're in there, there's no way out. Right, if the Yidden would have fallen to level 50, they would have been stuck there forever. And the top level of the 50th level of Bino is also impossible to get to. It says even Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Navi of all time, did not get to the 50th level of Bino. It says when he died, with his death, it says he entered into the 50th level. says the name of the mountain that he died upon was Har Nevoi. Har Nevoi, Nun Boi. There were 50 levels in it. That's only when he died. During his life, he was at the 49th level. That's the highest attainable level for a human being to understand. The clarity that he had, the Gemara talks about, the clarity that he had, the Rebbe Shalom, was clearer than any Novi Ebi, Aspaklari Mehira, is what it says. And Paro was his antithesis, was his nemesis, was on the exact level, so they were really 100 paces apart. It says the Eden had to get out of there. There's a tremendous Zohar that says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim, which Rashi says doesn't mean that they were armed or whatever. When your fifth came out, some of the Darshan, your 50th came out, the Zohar says, V'chamushim is a lotion of 50. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, the Kuni Zohar, says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, said they went out 50 levels, 50 aliyahs, V'chamushim olu, 50 aliyahs, clearly shall climb their way out of Mitzrayim. From 49 below, they replaced each level with one of the levels of Sharabina. The Zohar also says that it said 50 times in the Torah the words Asher Hoytzeitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Each one corresponded to one of the Sharabina that nullified one of the Sharabina. Let's take this one little step further. Pasuk says like this. Pasuk says, do I have to finish at 9? Yeah. If you look upwards as opposed to Mitzrayim looking down, you will see mi bara eile. That mi is gematria 50. If a person can look upwards, they will see mi bara eile through the 50 channels. But in Mitzrayim, it says that 50 was completely constricted. So the word Mitzrayim is a composite of the word Mitzar and mi. The restriction on those 50, all of those 50 levels were limited, completely limited, they were off limits, and they had to extract themselves one level at a time to retrain themselves to stop looking downwards. Chazal say the word Elohim is Eile Mi, Mi Eile. Look there by they talk about it by the ego. It says Eile Lehechi Yisrael, it was Eile without the Mi. Look over there, that's what it says. What about Yimei Tzfira? So clearly each one of these days between Pesach and Atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuot, is a day of Emunah. It's a day of Emunah. It's a day of clarity, recognizing Hashem and defeating and destroying those levels of Kefira that they were subjected to in Mitzrayim. And that's all we have to do today. Behold, to each day that we go through with Tzfira, it is clearly our duty to engage in the mitzvah of Emunah more than anything else. That's what it says. Very interesting that the words accounting in the Torah, the biblical word for counting in the Torah, you have two words really the Torah uses. One is in a shul that we know, that we're familiar with, minyan, limnos, and the other word is pikud. It says Eila pikudim, pikude. Very interesting that those two words also mean emunah. A pikodoin is an item of trust. Pasuk says v'yafkeid hamelech. First of all, v'yafkeid means to entrust somebody, to appoint them on with a trustworthy mission. V'yafkeid hamelech pikidim al ha'oretz. The Targum says v'yahamli mehenne. And the word minyan is the same root as the word emunah also. So you see, grammatically, there's a direct relationship between the concept of counting and the idea of trust. How interesting that in English we have an expression, to count on somebody means to trust them. Why? What are you talking about? I'm counting on you. What does that mean? Do you like get on a chair and I'll sit on your shoulders and I'll start counting? I'm counting on you. It comes from here. Because you see it in the Torah. That's what it is grammatically. What is it conceptually? So Moshe Shapiro says like this. He says when you count, that is an exercise of trust. Because each level that you climb, you are demonstrating that the level beneath it is Ne'emon, is absolute. You can't go 1, 2, 5, 7, 8, you can't do that. I mean, you can, but they wouldn't let you get away with it in the math class, right? You can't do that. That's 1. If 1 is solid and absolute, then you can move to 2. If 2 is absolute, you can move to 3, 4, 5. That's what it means. Each level, when you build a house, you can't build the roof before... We're talking in normal countries. You can't fill the roof and then slide the floor in underneath. Well, the floor, bottom floor is solid, you build the next one. Yes, you build the next one. I mean, Twin Towers, 110 stories, I'm sure they built them one at a time. Number one. Number two, when you're counting forward, you're always conscious of the fact, in the back of your mind, that there's a bosses, there's a base, there's a number one. It always takes you back to number one. Even if you're number 1,050, you know that there's a number one at the bottom of it all. Because if you pull out number one, the whole thing will fall. So you see that the idea of counting is not just related grammatically to the concept of Emunah, but it is Emunah. So as we go through these days, as we go through these days of Sefira, we have to understand it's an exercise of Emunah one step at a time. Now, listen to this quickly. The Minchat Chinuch is tremendous. Minchat Chinuch says in the mitzvah of Sefira Ta'omer, he says like this. He says, what about the fact that you start on the day of the Omer? What about the fact that you start on the day of the Omer? So he says, you know, for example, he says, why didn't you start on the first day of Pesach? So first he wants to say because Emaim and Simcha and Simcha, but then he says like this. He says, really, it's connected with the Omer like this. Why? Because Shehu Kov and Nichvot She'onu Ma'amin Ki Hashem Baruch Hu Bashkechot Sabani Odom Roitzel Achi Yotzel, that we trust, we believe in Hashem, that He keeps us alive. Then he says, like I explained by the mitzvah of Omer. Let's take a look at the mitzvah of Omer. But the Omer doesn't say that. He says the mitzvah of Omer is to recognize the chesed of Hashem, that everything comes from Him, that the beginning is Him, Reishis Ketzuchem, the number one start of the Bnei Shleilam. So by mitzvah Sfira to Omer, he throws in the word Ma'amin Him, and then he says, like I said to the Omer, what does he mean? You see that the aspect of Sfira in the Omer is the aspect of trust in Hashem, that He provides our sustenance. And without His Reishis, there is nothing. The beautiful Medrash, the Medrash says like this. Very quickly here, then we'll get to answer the question. Medrash says, Omer Rav Yanai, Dino Yek Sheva Oilem Adam Lekech, Lich Ha'achah Shabbatam and Ashuk. Kami Yegiyu Zi Yoga, Kamu Tzaru Mitzayi Shibishto, Nizregu. Vahabriya Zi Shein Amal Mito Yisayin, the people are sleeping in bed. Vahakadosh Baruch Hu Meishiv Ruchay Tumala, Anonimu Megalot Tzmachim and Zatim Nizapeiroiz. Ve'ein Noisim Noyel, Sachar Ha'oimer. That's what it had all the Chsiva, Ve'isim Yisoy Mereishiz Kitzirchem. Beautiful Medrash. But he said Hashem makes the whole world go around, nature work in perfect harmony and synchronization. And what do we give Him in return to recognize that, to show that we understand? When I go to work and I have a tzloch in business, that it's all the Rosh Hashanah. First of all, that's it. And then the Omer, it's the beginning. If the beginning is clean, the rest of it is good. It's a bit like the bracha you make on food. If you can make a bracha on food, the Gemara says it's me'ila. You're having enjoyment from the world without permission. But you make a bracha, you can eat a sumptuous feast for 10 hours. No problem at all. No problem at all. The Omer is the beginning. It's the Emunah in Hashem that everything starts with Him. If that's true, then Sefirah the Omer is not just accurate. In essence, that's exactly what it is. In anticipation for Har Sinai, where finally when they reach the 50th day, the 50th level, and there was a burst of revelation, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, which the Rambam says is the mitzvah of Emunah. That process is a process of increasing our awareness of the Ribono Shel Olam in our lives. That's all it is. And every day that's our obligation. Can you fulfill your obligation in Emunah with somebody else's Emunah? Shemei Koina? No. Well, we have tremendous kavod with our Sefirah Ta'omer. And then we count the day, which is one level higher than I was yesterday, my recognition that the Rosh Hashanah controls the world. You can't do that for me. The first question they ask you when you get upstairs is Nasosa v'nasata be'emunah, which literally means, did you do business faithfully? But it also means, did you engage in the midst of emunah? You can't say, my father did, and I heard him, and I said, Amen. You can't do that. That's for your emunah. It's your midst of emunah. Shemekon is not going to work. It's not going to work. So that we didn't get to, but the final thing I'll say is that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, the truth is that they were on the 49th level of Tumah. At the Yam Suf, and again Chazal say that the Yam is also 50 specifically, that Hashem decided to bury Mitzrayim and the whole culture of Mitzrayim specifically in a sea. He could have done it anyway, specifically because of this. It says that Hashem buried Mitzrayim in the sea. And Maral says, what do you mean he buried Mitzrayim? Where's the Mitzrayim? He said he buried the whole concept of kefir, was buried in the sea. He buried it to be nice and time to chayam. He said the shukra saw more than anybody else. So we have to understand that we have to get away from Mitzrayim, those environments that challenge our emunah in Hashem. We have to get away from them. But even while we're away, it's still with us. It's a two-step process. We have to extract ourselves from those areas that challenge our emunah, not go to those places and listen to those things that challenge our emunah. But even after we've moved away, we've extracted ourselves from those situations, we have to know that we have a mitzvah on us every day of the Omer specifically to work on our emunah to come closer to the Ben Shem.